What is a chant? Everybody's into chanting nowadays. What if you were to take a random syllables and start chanting them? Jiga jugu jigi jigi jaga, jugu jigi jigi jiga joga, jigi 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 jaga, jutu do do do. Is that chanting? No, it's not. Chanting is not chanting some random syllables. Gibberish, gibberish, gibberish. That is not chanting. Chanting has to have special words that have been infused with power. Some of them are called mantras. Some of them, you know, are called spells. Some of them are simply intentions. But the words must have meaning to the person uttering them and should follow an order, a beat, a rhythm, and have an intention behind every syllable. Now that is a chant. In today's episode, we are going to learn what is a chant, specifically Vedic chants. So we are sitting here with Pandit Atul Krishna Das, who is an expert chanter. So let me start by asking you, Atul, what is a chant? Generally, what is a chant?
Well, generally, chanting is any rhythmic or repetitive vocal expression. It might be used in religious or spiritual ceremonies or practices, and in secular contexts, we have things like sports events or protests. Chants could be simple or they could be complex. It might consist of a single word or phrase repeated over and over again, or there might be more elaborate structures with varying melodies and lyrics. Chanting is often used as a way to create a sense of unity and shared purpose amongst participants, and to evoke a particular emotional or spiritual state.
So if some random, let's say there's a child and randomly child starts, you know, repeating something, is that a chant?
Well, it is. Let's say that chants are always going to have a purpose behind them. And the child will sometimes just start saying something just to make some sound to get attention. So no, you wouldn't really call that a chant, you know, but if there's a group of spectators, just to give the simplest possible example, at a sporting event and they're saying, go team, go, get the goal, score the point, that's a chant. And it's a unified purpose. There's a goal in mind and it is repetitive and there's a purpose behind it. So the child's babbling is, or making noise, they're just, you know, trying to get attention.
Interesting you say that about sporting events, because sometimes when you play on a home ground and everybody is chanting the one team, the team gets inspired and often wins, even if they're not favorites to win. So the chanting of the crowd gives the players inspiration and it gives them power, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a type of expression, and it also is an expression that is that has a sense of unity and purpose when there's a when there's a large group of people and they're all doing the same thing. That is another way of expressing support.
So words have power. So
absolutely.
You know that words have power, but you're saying chant also has power. How can you differentiate generally words having power and a chant having power? What I'm getting is only when chanting is done in a group setting, it's more powerful. Is that it?
Well, it is a type of power, but there's also power in a speaker who uses words with purpose. Now, some people subscribe to the theory of NLP or neuro-linguistic programming, which is to use a certain cadence. And there are inspirational speakers like Tony Robbins who use these types of methods. They use a very deliberate cadence and they use deliberate intonation to get a message across. And it has an almost hypnotic effect on people.
Oh, he's definitely hypnotic. He's awesome.
Yeah, they pay attention. So it's not just in a group and actually one person using very deliberate expression can have a very strong effect on a large group of people.
Yeah. All right. So my next question is religious chanting, specific Vedic chanting, which is our main topic for today. So tell us a little bit about Vedic chanting.
Well, Vedic chanting is really different because the syllables of Vedic mantras, first of all, mantra comes from two words, man meaning mind and tra for trayate, what delivers. So mantra is not just a meaningless chant or a made up chant. It is a sequence of sound that has inherent potency in it. So when we are doing Vedic chants, we are using loaded syllables that form loaded words as part of loaded expressions. So there's power stacked on power, stacked on power. And even if we don't do it right, there is still some effect.
Can you give an example?
Yeah, for example, it is said that all the names of God have great power in them. And in some religious traditions, it is said not to say the name of God because it would be disrespectful. In Vedic traditions, names of God, such as Krishna, Vishnu, Shiva, these are considered very holy utterances and they are considered to have great power. If I say, you know, your name, if I say, you know, Monica, 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 it's not the same as you. It doesn't invoke your presence. But if I am chanting a name of the divine, it does. It is loaded with power and it invokes divine presence and blessings.
Like Ram, Ram.
So what I'm understanding is that a chant can be a single name of the divine, like Ram, 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 something like that.
Yes, you know, like Ram, Vishnu, Krishna, Hari. These are names of the divine.
Mm-hmm. Can you just maybe speak any mantra that is dear to you?
Well, you know, there is one prayer to Bhagavan Vishnu. Shuklam Bharadharam Vishnum Shashivarnam Chaturbhujam Prasanna Vadanam Dhyayit Sarvavigno Pashantaye.
What does that mean?
It means that I meditate upon Vishnu, who wears light-colored garments, who has a moon-like glow to his complexion, and who has four arms, who is in a smiling form. I meditate upon that person who can bring an end to all types of suffering and obstacles.
That's beautiful. Now, I noticed when you were singing it, it had a tune because it was a chant, like you said, Shuklam Bardharam Vishnum Shashivaranam Chaturbhujam. So there was some tune there. So tell us about this tune and the way you chanted this. What is this?
Well, there are some pundits who are very good at chanting verses in different types of tunes. There was one person named Gadadhar Pandit, who lived about 500 years ago, who was known for being able to recite verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a ancient holy scripture, in several different types of tunes. It is kind of an art. We will, you know, sometimes give a kind of a tune to it because it already has rhythm. In classical Sanskrit, verses are already constructed with what is called chandas. Chandas is a type of meter. In Sanskrit, we don't have an emphasis on accented syllables that are, you know, like, for example, we often give stress to penultimate syllable is one thing that's very common in English. In Sanskrit, you only have a flow of long and short syllables. And I could give you an example of that.
Go on.
So, for example, this is a verse that is describing the name of God. Angha samharati samharadakilam sakrit udaya deva sakala lokasya taranirivitimila jadadhim jayati jagan mangalam harir nama. The translation is, all glories to the name of Hari, which illuminates the entire universe and immediately dissipates the darkness of ignorance, just as the sun, upon rising, immediately removes all the darkness of the world. So the meter, you can hear this, there is this pattern, even though the lines, the four lines of this verse are not all the same, but they form a type of rhythm. It is almost like something you could dance to.
Yes. So one of the most famous tunes, and we heard a tune is like, a, you know, the meter is called Chanda, so Chanda, is the Gayatri Mantra, right? And
yes.
It has the tune is Gayatri tune because it's Gayatri Mantra. So
yes.
Can you sing the Gayatri tune for us?
Yes, so Gayatri is one of seven Vedic chandas, Gayatri Ushnak Brihati Anushtup Jagati Om Bhur Bhuva Swaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yo Na Prachodayat.
So this is very beautiful, and I noticed how you were going long and short, and start with like, you know, invoking Ganesha. We'll say Vakratunda Mahakaya Surya Koti Sama Prabha Nirvignam Kurume Deva Sarvakareshu Sarvada, or some other, you know, Ganesha. Why is it that we always start with a Ganesha chant whenever we are doing a meditation or any other thing?
Well, Ganesha is the deity of all Vedic arts and sciences. He is worshipped by everyone who practices and studies Vedic science and who studies Vedic literature. We give pranam to him like a guru and as someone whose blessings are needed to be successful in the endeavor of learning Vedas.